Welcome to the Clinical Care Options Infectious Disease Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Adams. Today's episode is on choosing ART for pediatric patients, featuring Dr. Michelle Collins-Ogle, who is an assistant professor of pediatrics in the Division of Pediatric Infectious Diseases and Pediatric and Adolescent HIV at Children's Hospital at Montefiore and the Pediatric Hospital of Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx, New York. She will explore the latest data and recommendations for choosing ART for newborns exposed to HIV, for children and adolescents infected with HIV. She'll take us through a case study of an adolescent patient newly diagnosed with HIV. This episode is taken from our series on key decisions in HIV care. You can follow along with the slides, which are available in the show notes. Let's get started and listen in to Dr. Collins-Ogle.
My name is Michelle Collins-Ogle. I am an assistant professor of pediatrics in the Division of Pediatric Infectious Diseases. And I work in pediatric and adolescent HIV at Children's Hospital at Montefiore and the Pediatric Hospital of Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx, New York. And today I'm going to talk with you a little bit about key decisions in HIV, choosing ART for pediatric patients. We're going to begin our conversation talking about the epidemiology of pediatric HIV infections. Mother-to-child transmission rates were really decreased with the effectiveness of highly antiretroviral therapy, which involved combination antiretroviral therapy. The left side of the slide shows you the perinatal HIV diagnosis in the United States and the dependent areas from 2014 through 2018. And you can see the marked decrease in perinatal infections. And again, even prior to 2014, somewhere around the late 1990s and early 2000s, when highly active antiretroviral therapy combinations were available in the United States, the use of those medications were very effective in decreasing the rate of perinatal transmission. And if you look to the right side of your slide, and we look at the total number of children less than 13 years of age that were diagnosed with perinatal HIV in the United States and dependent areas, we see the breakdown here, which isn't, again, surprising that children of color, being either Black, African American, or Hispanic and Latino, are the majority of children that were born with HIV. And you can see the great disparity in the children of color versus white children or those that were identified as multiple races. The DHS guideline recommendation regimens for infants at risk for perinatal HIV transmission really look at the risk of transmission to the baby. So if we look on the perinatal HIV transmission risk, there are babies who are at low risk for perinatal transmission, and there are also those that are in the category of high risk. If you look at the low risk, mothers who are adherent to antiretroviral therapy during their pregnancy and basically remain undetectable in terms of their viral load, particularly within the 4 weeks prior to delivery, actually have a low risk of perinatal transmission. And so the recommendation for those infants are to get zidovudine for the first 4 weeks of life. Babies who are at higher risk of perinatal transmission have the following criteria: that the mother either did not receive ART during her pregnancy or did not take it consistently. Also, if they received intrapartum ART only, and if they were not virally suppressed within 4 weeks prior to delivery. Also, infants are at higher risk if HIV was acquired during the pregnancy or, again, if the mother is breastfeeding. In these cases where there's a higher risk of perinatal transmission, presumptive ART with zidovudine plus 3TC with either nevirapine or raltegravir are the recommended regimens. Now we're talking about preferred initial ART regimens for pediatric patients. And just to notice in pediatric patients in general, the weight of the patient is a lot more important than the age of the patient. So that's why you will see with babies and infants and children, the weight as well is as important as their age. So if you just look at the newborns less than 14 days, weigh more than or equal to 2 kilos, the regimens are listed there. I want to bring your attention down to infants and children greater than or equal to 4 weeks of age, but less than 6 years of age, with a weight greater than or equal to 3 kilos. You see the regimen there recommended is dolutegravir plus 2 NRTIs. And what I wanted to call your attention to is in 2020, the FDA approved dolutegravir dispersible tabs. So for those babies and young children, the dispersible tabs are available if they're greater than or equal to 4 weeks of age and are more than or equal to 3 kilos. And then if they weigh more than 14 kilos, the film-coated tabs are available. But I wanted to call your attention to that because that is, again, relatively new approval by the FDA for dolutegravir dispersible tabs. Antiretroviral dosing for preferred initial ART regimens for children greater than or equal to 6 years of age. Again, pay attention to the weight of the child, not necessarily the age. And as you see, the combination pill bictegravir FTC TAF is FDA approved for those adolescent children and adolescents weighing more than or equal to 25 kilos. And then again, if we go down to dolutegravir, the film-coated tablets and dolutegravir dispersible tablets are not bioequivalent. And I think that's important to pay attention to, so they're not interchangeable. So if you're using the dispersible tablets and you want to switch to the film-coated tablets, make sure that you're, again, looking at the age and the weight of the child in terms of which preparation may be able to use and when you switch, what dosing you may switch to. The Odyssey A and B trials are really important. This is the first, Odyssey trials are really the first trials, the first set of trials that were done in the pediatric population that looked at dolutegravir in terms of its efficacy and safety in ART. The Odyssey A trial looked at first line therapeutic regimens and treating kids with HIV. Odyssey B looked at the second line ART regimens. And this was both compared to the standard of care in children and adolescent populations. This was a multicenter, open label, randomized, non-inferiority phase 2 and 3 trial data. And what's important here is to note that the primary endpoint was treatment failure at week 96. Children living with HIV that were more than or equal to 4 weeks of age to less than 18 years old that, again, weighed more than or equal to 14 kilos were enrolled in the study. Again, remember the endpoint was treatment failure at week 96. This slide shows you the data that looks at week 96, the efficacy and safety. And the important thing to notice in both Odyssey A and B, again, looking at first line and second line ART regimens, the dolutegravir-based regimen was non-inferior to the standard of care, both first line and second line ART regimens. And to look at the outcomes, again, just to kind of pare down on the slide for what's important for our purposes, is if you look at the serious adverse events, you see there dolutegravir, 65 serious adverse events versus 44 in the standard of care. You see the treatment differential confidence interval of 0.87. I think that's important to note. In this next study, if we look at combination fixed dose pill, bictegravir, FTC, and TAF in children and adolescents, this is an open label, single arm phase 2 to 3 clinical trial. There are two groups in this study. There are adolescents that were less than 18 years of age, from 12 to less than 18 years of age. And there were also another group of kids that were 6 to less than 12 years of age in this study. And you can see on the left slide that the kids with HIV and adolescents, HIV RNA less than 50 copies per ml, they were on stable on ART, CD4 counts were over 200. And then if you look at the right side of the slide, there's a snapshot analysis. And you can see basically at week 24 and week 28, it's comparable. In terms of pharmacokinetics and safety in the fixed dose combination pill of bictegravir, FTC, and TAF, you can see that adolescents, the data there for adolescents as well as children, but I think the important part of this slide is to note that the overall range of exposures reported in adults and considered safe and effective in children as well. Bictegravir, FTC, TAF was well tolerated. And most adverse events were less than or equal to 2, with no treatment-related serious adverse events. So let's look at a case in particular. And let's look at a 15-year-old young man who has sex with men newly diagnosed with HIV. And I think it's really important to notice in a 15-year-old who's newly diagnosed, you want to make sure that they aren't newly diagnosed because they're just coming into the system. So questions you want to make sure that you ask are if they've been previously tested for HIV before, if their mother was diagnosed with HIV, because again, 15 years old is rather young. But the other important questions to ask in this child is, who are you having sex with and how are you having sex? And in this particular case, this 15-year-old was having sex with adult men that were older than 19, who didn't necessarily know his age. So it's important to know those things when you're taking your history so that you also make sure you screen them appropriately. Also important to ask in young men who have sex with men is, how do you have sex? Are you anal receptive? In the case when I'm talking to these kids, I ask them if they're top, bottom, or both. And also is if they perform or receive oral sex. So please make sure that you ask those questions of these young people to make sure that you're screening them appropriately for other things as well. And then when you're asking those questions, then it kind of, you compare them with some of the results to labs that you see on the right side of the screen. So for example, things that are important to know beside the CD4 count and the viral load is the HPV status. You want to make sure that the person that you're seeing, particularly young people, are hepatitis B immune. Of course, we know that all babies get hepatitis B vaccine series, but remember that they may not be immune to HPV at the time that you see them. So make sure that you note that. And if they're not immune, that you initiate the hepatitis B vaccine series. Also, of course, important to notice the HCV status. And then you want to make sure that there are other things that are normal. For example, cholesterol. Again, you want to make sure that you note their weight, because remember, we discussed earlier, not just the age of the patient that's important, but also their weight. And we see here he's 56 kilos. So when we talk about treating adolescents and young adults with HIV, we have to look at two separate categories of children. There are those who acquired HIV during their first decade of life, more likely perinatal transmission, and then those who acquired HIV in or after their second decade of life. And in most of those cases, those are children that have acquired HIV through sex. And if we look at the HIV care continuum outcome in the United States for kids ages 13 to 24 living with HIV, we see that about 55% received an HIV diagnosis, which means about half of our kids are living with HIV and don't know that they have it. And then you see that about 43% of them actually receive care. What's most distressful is to note that only 30% of them are retained into care. And then again, about 33% are virally suppressed. So the majority of kids that are living with HIV, the challenge is whether they were perinatally acquired or whether they were acquired during their second decade of life, which is likely through sexual transmission, that we have a fair number of children that are not virally suppressed or retained in care. So when you look at these young people, there are certain things that we need to consider in treating them. Again, whether their HIV was acquired perinatally or later as a result of sexual transmission, again, which is commonly the way that the older adolescents acquire HIV. The ART considerations are different depending on the ages of the young people and also when they acquired their infection. So ART considerations, particularly in cisgender females, is childbearing and fertility. And it's really important to have that conversation with young adolescents, young women of childbearing age, because it should play a role in what ART regimen you may consider using if they want to have children and if they plan on having children, or even if they don't plan on having children. If they're having condomless sex, you want to think about the fact that they may have an unplanned pregnancy. Also, ART considerations are drug-to-drug interactions. And again, you want to pick a regimen that may be easier for them to adhere to. Oftentimes, the kids don't want to take a pill that's too big. They don't want to take more than one pill a day, and they certainly don't want to take a pill more than once a day. So make sure that you look at their ability to be adherent to their regimen when you're picking out an ART for them. And in management considerations, With all young people, STI considerations are extremely important as something that should be discussed and evaluated at every visit. Also, their psychosocial history and mental health is extremely important. It has an impact on their ability to be adherent to their ART regimen as well as their medical visits. And then whether or not they have substance use issues, and that can include marijuana, opioids, or alcohol. And so please make sure that you have those discussions with them, as again, it does impact their ability to adhere to their medications if they're having polysubstance use or if they have substance use issues that are barriers to them being able to adhere to their ARV regimen. And so back to our 15-year-old. So our 15-year-old is newly diagnosed with HIV. His HIV was acquired through sexual transmission with adult males. He tells you that he's primarily bottom. So when they're telling you that they're a bottom, they're also telling you that they're anal receptive. He also admits to you that he performs oral sex. So in addition to the basic things that you're going to do to make sure that you know the status of his HIV infection, you're going to also want to make sure that you screen him appropriately for STIs. The other thing that's important here to notice is his liver enzymes, that they're normal. Again, this is going to be important when you choose an antiretroviral agent, as well, again, as we spoke about the weight. Please make sure you do three-site testing for gonorrhea and chlamydia, because he did tell you that he's anal receptive. He did tell you that he performs oral sex. You also want to make sure you screen them for syphilis. Also make sure when you're examining these young people that you do a genital exam to make sure that they don't have any genital lesions, any ulcers or rashes that may indicate that they have an STI present. So those things are going to be very important. And please make sure in these young people that you explain to them why you're asking such personal questions about how they have sex and who they have sex with, and that you want to make sure that you're screening them appropriately and that you're helping them stay safe. And so in this young man, he's 15, his hepatitis B status is immune, he's HCV negative, he's got normal liver enzymes and otherwise looks pretty good. So fixed dose combination one pill would be very appropriate for him. Bictegravir and a fixed dose combination would be appropriate for this young man. Now, there are also other regimens that are really equally as good that I like to consider, and that is dolutegravir in combination with fixed dose TDF-FTC. That's highly effective. The pills are not very large. They can take them together. So now I would like to introduce you to a young patient that I've had the pleasure of caring for since he was diagnosed at the age of 17. I'd like for you to hear something from him on how he feels about being diagnosed with HIV as an adolescent.
I guess the only thing that was really challenging was trying to get comfortable with yourself. You know, you're so young and you're dealing with something that is a big thing, you know. In your mind, all you keep telling yourself is, oh, I've yet to live. So when I went and found out and everything, it was more so I just really had to get comfortable with myself. I stopped hanging around everybody. I stopped talking to people. My main priorities was literally working home. That's all I was doing. And then, you know, all I'm doing is working home. So when I would clock out, my coworkers would bring me out with them. And then eventually I got comfortable with going back outside.
So key take-home points when we're talking about pediatric and adolescent people living with HIV is that ART is recommended for HIV-exposed newborns with different regimens, recommended based on exposure risk. And remember, in this group, we're looking at low risk versus high risk. For children that are greater than or equal to 6 years of age with HIV, dolutegravir and bictegravir-based ART regimens are now preferred, and they are highly effective and very safe in this age group. And then finally, just remember when we're talking about children and adolescents with HIV, that we have to remember there are two different categories of kids that may have unique challenges in each one of those age groups. So those children that are younger in their first decade of life who may have acquired HIV through perinatal transmission, make sure that you understand they may have specific unique challenges and considerations when choosing their ART regimen versus those who were diagnosed in their second decade of life and who likely acquired the HIV through sexual transmission. And also don't forget to pay attention to and talk with those patients who are of childbearing age, and if they plan on having children or want to have children, that you base your ART regimen on those desires as well. And then go online for more CCO activities on key decisions in HIV care, medical minutes and podcasts with expert faculty, clinical thought commentaries from physicians and patients, and then the patient education series to print and share.
Thank you to Dr. Collins Ogle, and thanks to you, the listener. To listen to more episodes in this series and to see slides and webcasts on key decisions in HIV care, see the links in the show notes. Thank you and have a great day.